My name is Nimalandi. I am from Lhasa. I lost my eyesight when I was 3 months old. For my fellow disabled people, we have to accept who we are and we have to believe in ourselves. If we don't believe in ourselves, then who can believe in us?
The world is a stage, and all the men and women in it are merely players. While some of us are blessed with easier roles in the play called life, others are greatly challenged. But to someone like Nima Wangdu, your destiny is in your own hands. Only you are the playwright of your own life. As a school principal, he's guided dozens of blind students from illiteracy to enlightenment. At the age of 33, he's traveled to 10 countries, hosted a talk show, finished a half marathon, and published a biography. Though he takes a lot of risks, he's lucky to have a loving wife and adorable children to give him calm and a sense of happiness. Wangdu's unwavering courage and willingness to trust others may be the secret to his extraordinary life. Though his eyes may be blind, his world is not in darkness. In fact, Wangdu's insights have brought light and hope to many others.
There are so many opportunities waiting for disabled people, and we just need to say, here I am and I want to give a try, you know, and then everything is possible. But at the same time, you really have to say that you want to do it. That's more important. If you want to do it, then trust yourself and start to challenge yourself.
This is the story of Nima Wangdu, a blind educator and influencer living in China's Tibet Autonomous Region. He believes that blindness is not a defect, but rather a distinct feature, and that society should have more faith in the possibilities of the disabled. Stay tuned for his fascinating story.
You've been listening to Footprints.
Nima Wangdu was born in 1988 in a remote village in Ganzi, Tibetan Autonomous Prefecture of southwest China's Sichuan Province. His mother gave birth to him and his twin sister in a barley field while farming. The twins were lucky to survive, so their neighbors and friends brought gifts and blessings to the happy family. The happiness, however, didn't last long.
I lost my eyesight when I was 3 months, and also I have a twin sister, and the strange thing is my twin sister doesn't have any problem with her eyesight.
3 months after his birth, Wangdu was diagnosed with total blindness. Before his family could come up with a way to treat it, his father came down with severe pneumonia and passed away. Not long after, Wangdu's mother also left him to start a new life in Lhasa, leaving him in the guardianship of his grandparents, who brought him up and taught him to be a brave and righteous person.
I grew up with my grandparents, and they did a lot for me. I learned math from my grandfather, and my grandmother also taught me how to be a better person, you know. This is all I learned from them.
When Nima Wangdu turned 7, his grandfather took him to the alpine pasture and asked him if he was comfortable riding alone. After expressing that he was, he rode with his grandfather through the mountains and crossed rivers. He even received training as a proper wrangler. Around the same time, Wangdu's grandmother asked him to recite Buddhist sutras. Her hope was that if one day the boy ended up as a beggar on the street, people would be willing to spare some change to help a pious boy. Luckily, that never happened. But reciting sutras day in and day out trained Wangdu's memory, which paved the way for his later success at school. But what was his school life like? Stay tuned to find out. But first, let's take a short break.
You've been listening to Footprints.
As Wangdu entered his teens, his mother, who was already in Lhasa, reconnected with him and decided to bring him to Lhasa to see if there was any hope to cure his eyes. Unfortunately, her efforts were in vain. But as the saying goes, when one door closes, another one opens.
In 2000, I came to Lhasa. The purpose was really to see an eye doctor to cure my eyesight. Unfortunately, the doctors couldn't do anything for my eyesight, but fortunately, we found a school for the blind in Lhasa, which is set up by Tibet Disabled Persons Federation and a German organization together.
The organization is called Braille Without Borders. a non-government organization founded in 1998 by German educator Sabria Tenbruggen, who was also blind herself. Her curiosity toward Tibet drew her to the region and drove her to work with the local government to establish Tibet's first school for the blind. It became a safe haven and cradle of knowledge to many visually impaired children in Tibet, including Wang Du.
I joined the blind school in 2002, and I studied there for 3 years, from 2002 to 2005.
The school opened up his world, and his experience was transformative. Not only did Wang Du manage to receive proper education, taking Chinese, English, math, and music courses taught in other public schools, he and his fellow students also learned mobility and survival skills. They learned to read Braille and walk with smart sticks. They also learned to draw, play instruments, and give massages. Wang Du stood out among his peers and later got an opportunity to study abroad. Stay tuned to find out how he navigated his life in a foreign land. But first, let's take another break.
You've been listening to Footprints.
Nima Wang Du was a bright and interest-driven student. He didn't enjoy music or art classes, but was fascinated by English. Thanks to his strong memory, he could memorize words and expressions very quickly. Within 1 year, he could speak fluent English to proudly introduce his school to visiting guests from around the world. His outstanding language skills eventually opened a new window for him to see the wider world.
I got a scholarship from the Tibet Disabled Persons Federation and Blind School and went to England to study English. I lived in a small town called Totnes. It is a very hippie place, and it's really good for the blind.
Life abroad was filled with fond memories, but not without its challenges.
When I studied in a blind school, honestly, I didn't have a problem or didn't see a problem with studying because my classmates, we all are same, you know, we are from the same community, which is from the blind community, so I didn't really find a problem. But when I went to the UK to study English, I really started my problem and a lot of challenges because in my class, I'm the only one who is blind.
Stepping outside of the blind community while trying his best to blend into a foreign environment, Wang Du learned to be independent while at the same time not being afraid to ask for help.
I listened carefully in the class, and after the class, I asked my classmates to read their notes to me, and I rewrite in Braille. We take like 3 hours class, but for me, it takes like 5 hours to get everything in the right order like other people. And I went on like this almost 2 years.
In 2006, Wang Du graduated from Totnes School of English and returned to Lhasa. As an excellent graduate, he was to become an English teacher of his alma mater and later took up the baton as the school principal. What challenges lie ahead of this aspiring young man? And how could he beat the odds? Let's find out after another short break.
You've been listening to Footprints.
Nima Wang Du is not a conventional teacher, at least not in the eyes of his Tibetan students and colleagues. To encourage his blind students to be brave and confident, he challenged them to stand on their square little tables while reciting. When other teachers tried to prevent students from dating too early, he told his students that love is beautiful. The school's founder, Tenbruggen, saw great potential in Wang Du from early on. She once said to him that he could be a great leader. In 2011, Tenbruggen appointed Wang Du as her successor.
It was very good for me to be a principal at the blind school because it's really for the blind and of the blind and by the blind, because I know exactly what my fellow blind friends need.
Though he might have had the majority of his students and colleagues' support, there were others who didn't agree with his new position due to the fact that he was disabled. In case you're wondering how he overcame this difficulty, he had one simple solution.
Self-confident. I believe in myself, and I just have to show them my confidence and show them that, look, this is really I can do.
Back in the days when Tibet didn't have any special schools for the visually impaired, Wang Du School offered the visually impaired a favorable means of education and opportunities in life. However, the school was originally founded as a pilot project instead of a formal education institution. the students could not get a certificate or a degree, and the teachers were mostly volunteers. Today, with the efforts of the local government and supporting regulations in place, Tibet has set up special schools that offer the visually impaired children access to education and fair employment opportunities.
The blind school is not needed anymore because we have lots of special schools every country, like Gatse County, Boka, Natu. All the countries have different special schools. So what we did is we combined the blind students into a different special schools. Right now, the students and staff are having better lives and better choices.
While his students were embarking on their journeys for a better life, Wang Du also began to reorient his life and career. Stay tuned for more details.
You've been listening to Footprints.
In 2018, the blind school Braille Without Borders accomplished its mission and ceased operations. Wang Du took it as an opportunity to explore new possibilities in his life. He started a talk show discussing China's important social issues and shared life stories as a disabled person. He later joined Dreamer, a family education center based in Tibet, and started giving talks in schools and companies as a motivational speaker. With help from his friends, he managed to publish his first biography.
Many people are really not happy or satisfied with their life. And I know that I had a lot of difficulties in my life and I had a tough life. I feel like it's really my turn to do something for the society and my fellow friends.
Wang Du believes anyone who reads his book can get some inspiration and encouragement from his story. On the subject of his future plans, he hopes someday his story can be made into a documentary so it could inspire more people. He now has another objective, which is more personal, but no less ambitious, to become a better father and a better husband.
I really hope that I can be a good father of two kids and good husband of my wife. That is long-term plan.
Wang Du met his wife at the Braille Without Borders school in Lhasa.
We are from the same school. When I went to the school, she's already in grade 2 and I already in grade 1. Since then, we became very good friends. Now we know each other for 21 years. It's like amazing. I'm happy.
His wife is partially blind. Since they grew up together and share similar experiences, they can easily understand each other. The couple started a loving family.
Now we have two kids, one boy and one girl. Our daughter is 6. She's already in elementary school. It makes me so much happy. I'm really proud to be her father. And our son, he's 4 years old and he's in the kindergarten. He always fights with me and play. We have really happy family.
Becoming a father has changed Wang Du, making him a better man. He has more patience and has become more responsible. At the same time, he's become more hopeful about the future. Currently, Wang Du lives a relaxing yet exciting life. He enjoys cycling, playing football, going out with friends for coffee chats, and traveling. He says he's traveled broadly across China and around the world.
I often go to Chengdu because I think Chengdu is really one good place where you can meet up with everybody because most people, you know, wherever they go, Chengdu, Shanghai, they stop in Chengdu.
During his extensive travels, Wang Du has noticed that the city infrastructure across China has become friendlier to the handicapped over the years.
I think it's much, much better than 10 years before. There are better accessibility, especially for transportation. I can fly to anywhere, you know, because the airport people help us. It's very safe, especially in China. It's not that really problem for blind people to travel around.
In 2020, Wang Du took up another hobby, running. Initially, he ran for 3 to 5 kilometers just for fun with his friends. But a year later, he took the hobby more seriously and decided to try a half marathon.
I just want to see how it's like. I went for 21 kilometers and it was really a lot of fun. It's not that difficult as people think. It took us 2 hours and 19 minutes.
Wang Du ran with his friends for 104 days before they entered the race. During the process, he learned the importance of mutual trust and believes that the disabled community needs it for progress.
I also learned that trusting is really, really, really important. It's not really one-way trust. I really trusted my friend 100% and we are one team. And also he trusted me that I can run. A lot of people think that my friend is amazing because he took me, blah, blah. I agree, but at the same time, I think I'm also amazing because I trusted him 100%. And I think we both are amazing to accomplish this.
Just like running a marathon, to Wang Du, people with disabilities need to believe in themselves and show society that they're capable of accomplishing great things. They need help, but mostly understanding and trust.
We have to accept who we are, and we have to believe in ourselves. If we don't believe in ourselves, then who can believe in us? So therefore, I think we have to show up, say, hey, look, actually, we can do this. Why not? I know in Tibet, we have so many blind friends. They are much, much better than me in education or in business.
Wang Du says he has a friend who runs a hot pot restaurant and another who owns a band. He notices that in Tibet, people with disabilities also hold civil servant jobs at the local government, open their own businesses, or work along others in different walks of life.
There are so many opportunities waiting for disabled people, and we just need to say, here I am and I want to give a try, you know, and then everything is possible. But at the same time, you really have to say that you want to do it. That's more important. If you want to do it, then trust yourself and start to challenge yourself.
Following Wang Du's footprints, we can see a path full of thorns transformed into a journey filled with unexpected surprises and happiness. Wang Du told us that he wanted to inspire not just his fellow disabled friends, but everyone to become more confident and resilient, learn to accept who they are, and embrace our flaws and imperfections as human beings. He's been offered opportunities to treat his eyes so he can see again, but he has refused. Inspired by Helen Keller's book titled 3 Days to See, he named his biography No Need to See 3 Days. He often wonders if he would be the same person his friends know if his eyes were cured. He also says he's content with his life and he actually worries his happiness would be taken away if he could see. He concludes that he would just like to accumulate good deeds in this life, and if there is a next life, he hopes to have vision and see it with his own eyes. With that, we conclude this edition of Footprints. Special thanks to our reporter, Wang Chuan. I'm Tony Reed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.